Welcome to the McKenzie series. I am L. Ming Young, and I will be your narrator as we go about this journey. Our adventure will start with the first novel of the McKenzie series, Skeletons in Her Closet. In this first installment, we are introduced to the girl next door, McKenzie Johnson. Over the years, McKenzie has become so involved in work, she neglects having a social life. As a new year begins, McKenzie is convinced by her friends to trade in her conservative business attire for some sexier club gear and finally let her hair down. All work and never play is never any fun. Not knowing when she will get out again, she is determined to make the most of this night. Not knowing she would not only enjoy a fun night out with her girls, but also meet the man she would soon marry, Milton Williams. Ordinarily, she would never go for a man that she met in a club, but there was something different about Milton once she takes the time to get to know him. He's everything she always wanted and felt she needed to make her life complete. But as with all things in life, McKenzie's journey with Milton is not an easy one. As we go through this journey, listeners, you will be left on the edge of your seat until the very end, wondering how this story will play out. So as we begin, get comfortable, relax, and let's begin. The beginning. Love is one of those things I thought I would never find. For the past 10 years or more, my life had been dedicated wholeheartedly to my career. It wasn't like I couldn't find a man. I had it going on in the looks department. Light brown complexion, 5'7", with the help of a 4-inch heel, and a picturesque frame always seemed to be a plus for the men. I constantly caught undressing me with their eyes. But instead of focusing on love, I challenged myself to establish a career as a teacher before anything else. For a period of time in my life, I was so consumed with school and developing a career that my friends would have to schedule time for us to grab dinner or a movie. I started out teaching at the high school level, but knew that would be a temporary situation as I did not have the tolerance to deal with the immaturity that came with high school students. The only worry I had with teaching at the college level was that there was a greater chance that I would see my students out in some of the local hangout spots. I needed them to always respect me as their professor, regardless of my age. It was bad enough that I had to prove myself to some of my older colleagues. They had no respect for the younger professors at all. Everything was always a competition with them. But to me, it was never really that serious. I found it amusing to see how they would talk down to us and would always push to justify our methods of teaching. After a while, I just ignored them and I did not allow their insecurities to get under my skin. I had worked hard for every degree that I had, and I was reminded of it every time I received my student loan bill. The administration recognized my accomplishments, so there really was nothing left to prove to my colleagues. My friends always teased me that I was too concerned with my credibility as a professor. As Kelly would say, "What's the point of hard work if you don't play just as hard?" Kelly and I had been friends since high school. She was one of very few that knew almost everything about me. She and our friend Jay were always trying to convince me that I needed to branch out and devote just as much time to my personal life. I had come a long way from the McKenzie I was back in the day, and while I knew that it would be an honor for any man to have me, I had not been on a date in years. I had adapted to being a homebody. This lifestyle had become second nature to me. Whenever I went out with my girls, I never saw anyone who sparked my interest. The few times that I had met people, they never seemed to have their shit together or were clearly looking for some sort of handout, and I was not the type of woman to be taking care of any grown person. Jay and Kelly swore I was being too anal, and they often made attempts to hook me up, but nothing ever materialized. The men they picked for me were more the type of men they preferred. Men who had an edge to them. To them, it didn't matter where they worked or any of that. They just needed them to look fine and be able to lay it down in the bedroom. They had no problem calling me snooty. I have to admit, as harsh as they were at times, it made sense. Jay and Kelly were persistent. There was never a weekend that went by they were not working overtime to sway me to go out with them. On a few occasions when we had plans to go out for dinner, they would be so adamant about driving that I knew what was up. Whenever they were that determined to drive, I knew dinner would ultimately end up going to someone's club. They did not care how long they had to continue to chant the same mantra or be conniving in their efforts to get me out. They knew eventually I would give in and accommodate their requests to venture out with them and let my hair down and have a good time. As the new year was about to set in, I decided that this would be the last year that Jay and Kelly would need to pester me about my personal life. Even my mom was pressuring me to get out there and see what life had to offer outside of the classroom. Jay and Kelly had been telling me about a party they were going to attend to bring in the new year, so I figured the best gift to them would be a phone call saying that I would join them. When I placed the call, I had never heard them scream with so much excitement. "You mean to tell me that after all these years, you finally stepping out with the girls? Lord, it is going to snow tonight," Kelly exclaimed. Jay just screamed over and over and over when I told her. You would have thought she had won the lottery. As crazy as it may seem, it had been 3 years since I had been to a club with the girls. We had occasionally done dinner and a movie, but nothing of this sort. This was clearly about to be a new start for me. I wanted to evolve from the girl next door image I had worked so hard at perfecting. It was indeed time for change. New year, new me. Bojangles was not the kind of place I would have ordinarily gone to. However, Bojangles on New Year's Eve was the place to be. Every baller from every part of town would be in attendance. Knowing this, I had to make sure I was looking as fly as ever. Not that I would ever hook up with someone in the club, especially not the baller type. See, I prefer a clean-cut man. I want my man to wear an Armani blazer, freshly starched button-up shirt, a fresh pair of jeans, and a nice pair of Armani loafers. Yeah, definitely that preppy, pretty boy type. That was what I was into. I was very serious about my career and portraying a professional image at all times. In the event I ran into any of my students, I was never concerned about running into any of my other professors in my department, as they all were much older. Don't get it twisted. I was not a fuddy-duddy when it came to dressing outside of work or having a good time. I could dress my ass off. This particular night, I chose to delight the attendees of this affair by wearing a short black sweater dress that draped off my shoulders. This dress showed every curve I had. I topped this off by wearing black leather boots with a silver cigarette heel. These boots, they looked as if they were molded to my legs. I completed this sexy getup with a black and silver layered beaded necklace and some dangling black and silver earrings. I opted to wear my hair pinned into a bun in order to draw attention to what I was wearing. Kelly came to pick me up just as she had promised, on time as always. She just stared in amazement when I got in the car. She spent most of the car ride chatting on the phone with one of her men. She was getting her after-party date lined up in advance. As we got closer to the club, I began to feel a little anxious. It had been a long time since I had willingly agreed to go out with the girls. Jay and Kelly knew how to party, and I was not sure I could keep up with them. I was not even sure if I would be able to stay up the entire night. I was usually in bed by 11. We lucked out and eased into a good parking space as we arrived at the club. The line was long as hell. It damn near wrapped around the building. Richmond's finest were in line and dressed to impress. I managed to see some familiar faces as we were walking to find Jay in line. I could not believe that the same people that were club hats from my much younger days were still partying just as hard. They were professional club hats now. This one girl, Keisha, waved as we linked up with Jay. She looked the same as I remember from her days of the flood zone. Keisha was that girl with the big weave with the wild colors. She always wore things that were clearly two sizes too small for her size 12 figure. Kelly and I both gave each other the eye when we spoke in return. As we greeted Jay and some other girls that were with us, Kelly commented that had she been a lesbian, she would have definitely hit on me that night. I just looked at her and laughed. She couldn't get it even if she tried. Kelly clearly was not an ugly woman, but even if I were into women, she wouldn't be my type. Kelly was close to 5'11". The fact that she wore heels all the time gave her an extra 3 inches. She had a light caramel complexion with hazel-colored eyes and wore her hair in a short natural cut. A few months ago, she decided to dye it platinum blonde. The color looked really good on her because of her skin tone. Kelly knew she was the shit. She often had to get her clothes custom-made due to her tall, lean figure. Jay and the other girls laughed at her comment. I'm going to get her first, Kelly. Your ass will have to wait until I'm done with her, Jay joked. I just shook my head and laughed at them both. Jay was about 5'4", and she wore her hair in a Beyonce-style weave. She had recently put on some weight. Back in our younger days, she and I were the twigs of the bunch, but getting older clearly had its benefits for us both. The added weight was in all the right places. It gave her breasts and ass that she never had in school. Jay did not wear anything that did not show off the girls since she had filled out. She made sure they were sitting high in her fitted low-cut BB dress. All of the crew was dressed to the nines tonight. As soon as we entered the club, we headed straight for the bar. We got the usual, a shot of Patron and a Corona. As we waited for our drinks, a few mutual friends came by to say hello. A few even commented that they did not know I still hung out. I felt badly when other people noticed that I had become such a homebody. In fact, that was my New Year's resolution, to get out and enjoy life more. After all, you only get to live once. Kelly and Jay had won me over and would no longer have any reason to complain. I was finally on deck to put my personal life in order. After downing our shots and Coronas, we met up with some other friends and headed to the dance floor. We circled around the club a few times, checking out everyone who was there, but it wasn't until we were on the dance floor that Jay noticed a man staring at the group as if he were in a trance. "Do you know that nigga over there staring with his mouth about to hit the floor?" asked Jay. "Hell no." "He is fine, though," replied Kelly, adjusting herself to make sure everything was in place. "Shit, as far as we knew, he could have been checking her out." We all just kept doing our thing and enjoying the music. The DJ, he was on point. He was playing all of the radio hits that brought the people to the dance floor. It was one hit after another. The dance floor was huge and every tile was taken up with people getting their groove on. I could not remember the last time I was in a club and just about everyone was grooving. Usually you have a fair share of people holding up the wall, but this was nowhere near the case tonight. I kept on dancing and continued to smile. I love reggae music and I was in my zone. It felt good to be out, to be free, and not worry about who I would see. This was clearly what I needed. As the music continued to play, I started winding my body to the beat. Then the DJ did it. He played R. Kelly's Slow Wind. This was my jam. I had not heard this song in years. The DJ clearly was taking it back. Kelly was still flaunting her stuff in front of the stranger. By the way he was watching, it was obvious he had his eye on someone in this group. As I continued to dance, I caught a glimpse of him checking me out. Kelly was my girl, but I was up for some friendly attention. I hadn't had a man look at me with wanton eyes in a very long time. So being the diva that I am, I maneuvered myself so that I was now in direct view of this tall, chocolate stranger. The more I moved, the more his eyes followed me. At this point, it was obvious he had his eyes on me. The man was following every move I made. It was almost like he was under a spell. By this point, Kelly had also realized who had captured his attention. "Bitch, you better work. It's always these uppity bitches that come in here and take my men," Kelly shouted over the loud music.
We all chuckled, and I got back to mesmerizing this man with my moves. As the song continued to play, I began to wind my body so seductively and made direct eye contact with my chocolate admirer. It should have been a crime. Assault with a deadly fucking weapon. Shit, the way I was feeling that night, you cannot tell me that I was not the total package. That night, I was beyond the shit. The other girls were on to what I was doing, so they began to push me more. Work it, Kenzie, they repeated in unison. The more they did this, the more seductive I got. This went on until Jay could not take any more and jumped in front of me and started backing it up. We all burst into laughter. I even caught a glimpse of my mystery man chuckling at her antics. See, this is what happened when a bitch does not get out much. You got that man over there about to bust a nut on himself, Jay said. What the hell ever, Jay? He was staring, so I gave him something to stare at. We danced the remainder of the reggae set and into the go-go set. Shit. It had really been a long time since I had gone out. It was finally hitting me, but I was enjoying myself, and this was my type of music. After the go-go set, I needed a break. We all did. At least I know I needed the break more than them. I wasn't as young as I used to be. And as we walked through the crowd to catch a breather, we passed by the tall, dark cup of fineness. Believe it or not, he was still staring. When I walked past, he reached his hand out to get my attention. I stopped and I gave him a seductive smile and kept on going to catch up with my girls. I had to admit, he was fine as hell, even up close. He had a dark chocolate complexion and appeared to be about 6'3 and 220 pounds of muscle. His hair was cut low. His smile was breathtaking, and damn, did he smell good. This sexy creature before me was wearing Diddy's I Am King cologne. Everything about him from the outside seemed so put together, but I still was not pressed to give him any of my attention. Your ass is wrong, said Kelly. How dare you seduce that man like that and then not even stop to talk to him? Whatever, Kel. I do not have time to be hooking up with somebody I met in a club. You know, that is not even my style. Look, but don't touch and keep it moving. Don't act like you don't know the rules. I'll see him again somewhere if it is all like that. Anyway, it's almost 12. Head me to the bar so I can get me some wine. It was then the crowd began to chant, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy New Year. Before I can even celebrate the fact that a new year had begun, I was tapped on my shoulder. The first thing that came to mind was that some bitch in the club is about to make me act out. With this in mind, I turned around with much attitude. Yes? Damn, Miss Lady. Why you have to be so nasty with it? Asked the stranger. My bad, I replied as I turned back to join in with my girls. Nah, not this time, Miss Lady. You're not going to brush me off like you did a few minutes ago. I normally do not even approach women in the club, but there is something about you. I will be a fool to let the opportunity of even getting your name pass me by. It's obvious that you want to get back with your girls, so I am not going to even hold you long. Do you think it's possible for me to get a number so I can call you and we can talk in a different environment? Being that you do not normally approach women in this environment, are you saying I should be privileged that you took interest in me? You know what? Don't even answer that question. You look like the cocky type, and I am not even impressed. Nah, Miss Lady, you got it all wrong. I'm not saying it that way. By the way, my name is Milton, but my friends call me Milk. What did you say your name was? I didn't say. Before I can even get anything else out, Kelly interrupted. You have to excuse my girl. She does not get out much, and she can be a little rude at times. As she said this, I saw her hand him a napkin, but I really did not think much of it. Kelly grabbed me before I could say anything else, and we headed to the other side of the club.
We partied the rest of the night until it was time to go home. I had not been out in so long, I was starting to feel a little buzz. The bed was definitely calling me. Kelly drove me home like a bat out of hell. She was trying to make the date she had arranged earlier. The next morning, I slept until 12:30 p.m. I could not believe I had slept that long. I had missed church. Damn. First day of a new year and I'm already starting off on the wrong track. I had so much fun last night being out with the girls. Hopefully, my mom would understand me missing church one time. For a brief moment, I thought about the chocolate admirer I had in the club. Sam, he was fine. A few moments until my cell phone rang. Hello? I answered. I was a little annoyed that my thought had been interrupted. What up, girl? I know you still not in that bed. It was Jay on the other end of the line. I was surprised she was up even at this time of day. Hell yeah, I just got up a few minutes ago. First day of the year and already I'm fucking up. You know I did not make it to church messing with you all at that damn club. Bad enough I missed New Year's Eve service with my mom last night to hang out with you crazy people. You need to get out. You needed to get out and enjoy yourself. Anyway, did that Zoo call you? What the hell do you mean, did he call? Did Kelly give him my damn number? Tell me she didn't. Silence. Hello? Does it really matter? You need to let loose. You need some dick in your life. Maybe he can give it to you. Fuck you, bitch. Anyway, I need to hop in the shower. I'll holler at you later. I could not believe that Kelly might have given this man my number. But then again, yes, I could. That is definitely something she would do. She was always playing the matchmaker. I'm sure my number was on that napkin she gave him. Damn, Kins. I was naive. After taking a shower, I decided to clean up the house and start getting things situated for my return back to work. After all, Monday would be here before I knew it. Grades were posted over the winter break, and I was sure some students would have questions. Back to work. Monday morning came sooner than expected. I had to admit, I was happy to get back into the swing of work. Sitting at my desk, I decided to check my emails before my first class began. As I was checking my emails, I ran across an email address that was not familiar at all. NubianPrince@gmail.com. My first instinct was to delete it, but then as I read the subject line, a poem for the most beautiful woman in Virginia, I was curious. We all know what happens with curiosity. It killed the cat. I opened the email and it read, "Good morning, Miss Johnson. I hope this email finds you in good spirits and your new year has gotten off to a great start. I wanted to call you, but I figured I would send an email instead, especially considering that you were so mean the other night in the club. Again, I'm not trying to come off as cocky, but already you have taken me out of my element. Never have I approached a female in the club. Never have I been hesitant to contact a female who had given me her information. But I guess in this case, I got your information from your girl. And as you can see, she supplied me with your phone number and email address. By the way, tell her that I owe her for the lookout. Miss Johnson, since our brief interaction in the club, I cannot stop thinking about you. I feel like a punk even admitting that, but please give me credit for being honest. Well, I'm not going to hold you much longer, so in closing, I will leave you with a poem that I wrote especially for you. Convicted. Sitting here thinking of you made me realize something. I am a prisoner, held captive by you. You first lured me in with your beautiful eyes, and then your smell arrested me. The way you moved your body had me hypnotized. It was at this moment I was hooked. It was in this moment that my rights were read and I was booked by the seductiveness of your that you possess. Now, Incarcerated by the hopes and the dreams of hearing your captivating voice, I stand a guilty man. Guilty of the desire that scorches like hot coals in the pit of my heart. I desire to see you, to get to know you, to explore your mind, the desire to explore your soul. I stand before you today, a guilty man, awaiting my sentence, waiting to be convicted. Milton. P.S. I'm not going to be pushy at all. If you are interested in getting to know me better and me in an environment different from which we initially met, please email me back or you can call me at 804-536-1234. I look forward to hearing from you and I'll await your response. What the hell? This was definitely not the way I was looking to start my week off. Not to mention my year. I could not believe the email. I had to call Kelly. For some reason, the phone seemed to ring a super long time today. Finally, she answered. Girl, I know you at work, but I just had to call. So I get to work and I'm checking my email. And who do I have an email from? No other than that dude from the club. Not only did you give him my number, you gave him my work email address. Hell, you made better time giving him my damn address. Kelly laughingly responded, anyway, so what did it say? Did you respond back? I read the email to Kelly line by line. Girl, call him, email him, or pass his ass along to me. I really am not sure. It is evident that he is not like most dudes that you will run across in the club. Well, at least that is the vibe I'm getting anyway. But you know, dudes always put their good foot forward first. He knows how to use email, and the dude can write. I have to admit, I am impressed. But you know me, Kelly. I'm not responding, at least not today. He could have gotten one of his boys to write that shit for him. We laughed as we ended our call and went about the remainder of our day. Curious. It was about 2 weeks before I read the email again, yet alone responded. But for some reason this particular day, I was feeling risky. After all, I did say I was going to enjoy life this year. You cannot enjoy life if you are not willing to step out there and see what it has to offer. I jotted the number down and put it in my purse. I decided I would call when I got home from work. 6:30 p.m. came and went, and I still had not made the call. What the hell was I going to say? Would he still be interested in me again? Had he found someone else that would give him the time of day? Fuck it. What is the worst that could happen? Another female picks up his phone? Been there, done that. So that is nothing new. The phone rang a million times, it seemed. And just as I was about to hang up, he answered. Hello? Damn, he sounded sexy as hell. I did not remember him sounding that sexy in the club, but then again, he was talking over loud music. Hey. This is Mackenzie. I was trying to reach Milton. This is he. I was wondering when you would call. Today must be my lucky day, he said in an amused tone. From the tone of his voice, I could tell he was smiling from ear to ear. Yeah, if you say so. Anyway, how was your day? Can't complain. It is much better now that you have called. I was starting to get worried. I thought I was going to have to hunt you down. Let me find out you a stalker, I chuckled. Never that, Miss Lady. I'm just intrigued by a beautiful woman, that is all. So let's cut all the small talk and get down to business. When can I see you again? You had me waiting long enough. I gave him that playful, schoolgirl laugh before I replied. He was clearly aggressive with his approach. Well, what do you have in mind? It's up to you, Miss Lady. I will work around your schedule. Well, you are the man. You pick. I had not been on a date in ages, so I had no clue what to do for a first date. How about tomorrow night around 7 p.m.? We can meet at the Bubble Bar. Cool. I will see you at 7. Fine. I'll see you then, he said as we ended the phone call. As much as I hated to admit, he sounded just as good as I remember him looking. I knew I had to look fly as hell for this meeting. The meeting. I decided that I would wear a black skirt suit with a faint gold pinstripe and split up the back. A gold silk camisole that had black lace trimming around the top. Black fishnet stockings and a pair of black and gold pumps. They say black is for funerals, and I was definitely about to send Milton to an early grave with this getup. Sexy, yet conservative, was essential. He greeted me wearing a brown Ralph Lauren blazer, a pair of denim jeans that fit just perfectly, a white button-up shirt, brown paperboy hat like Common Rocks in the Testify video, and a pair of brown Diesels. Not to mention, he smelled good as hell. As queer as it may sound, that Paris Hilton for men was the fucking bomb. Hell, if Kelly was on this date, she would have surely given him some ass as fine as he was looking and as amazing as he was smelling. But you know me, got to play the hard role no matter what. Dinner was great. Our conversation flowed, and I have to admit, I continue to be impressed. This brother had his shit together. Milton was the owner of Urban Legends magazine, and he owned a clothing chain called Upscale Designs. His magazine and clothing stores were very popular on the East Coast. He had stores here in Richmond, Atlanta, Baltimore, several in Philly, and two down in North Carolina. Never would I have imagined that he was indeed a legit businessman. You never can tell these days. People have so many side hustles. It's not even funny. It was crazy because as much as I was hoping I would not enjoy myself, I ended up having the time of my life. Milton and I had more in common than I would have imagined. From the way he initially approached me in the club, the email, and the phone conversation, I thought he would be very arrogant on this date. I really did think he was going to spend the whole night talking about how lucky I was to be out with him. Boy, did he prove me wrong. Milton and I not only talked about our careers, but we talked about our families, things we still wanted to achieve in life, and so forth. After dinner, we went to billiards, a pool hall here in the city. All the tables were taken, so we ended up just sitting at the bar talking some more. The more we talked, the more I smiled on the inside. I was actually glad I had gotten up the nerve to call him. The atmosphere was a little more laid back, so I felt comfortable drilling Milton. So, do you have any kids? Have you ever been married? I questioned. I was enjoying the small talk, but these were things I needed to know. Miss Lady, are we on a date or an interrogation? To answer your questions, I will start by saying no. I do not have any children. I have never been married. I do plan on getting married someday and having a family when the time is right. He answered in a very mellow tone. This man was so suave. Everything about him laid back. Even when I tried to lay on the pressure with my questions, he remained cool, calm, and collective. I was pleased overall. Before I knew it, midnight had struck. Damn, time really does fly when you're having fun. After we left billiards, we both agreed that we would definitely have to see each other again. I was already looking forward to our second date. The proposal. An occasional dinner and movie every now and again quickly turned into lunch 3 times a week. With my job, I did not get like a true lunch break. So Milton would bring lunch to the school and we would eat in the classroom. After a while, some of my students were like, oh, Miss Johnson, your man is fine. At any rate, this turned into us seeing each other every day, every night. And next thing I know, he was spending the night. Months had passed and we finally decided to make it official and become a couple. A year had gone by and we began talking about officially moving in together. We both decided that it was pointless for us to be paying mortgages on two separate homes. So we decided that he would sell his house and move in with me. It seemed like the logical thing to do since my house was bigger and more convenient to both of our jobs. At least that's what I thought, until shit started getting crazy. The first 6 months we lived together were perfect. It felt good being under the same roof. It was very different from when we were just staying a night here and there with each other. It felt good to come home to someone. And just the thought of knowing that no matter what, he would be there was reassuring. It was that extra sense of security I had yearned for at this point in my life. I enjoyed the romantic dinners and cuddling on the couch by the fireplace. Milton was a romantic, so there would be occasions when I would come home to Sade blasting and the smell of something delicious coming from the kitchen. Our arrangement was what everyone wanted out of a live-in situation. One particular day, I came home to roses greeting me in the driveway leading up to the front door. Then as I entered the house, there were more rose petals leading upstairs. As I followed the trail, it led me to the bathroom in the master bedroom. There, I was greeted with a freshly drawn bubble bath with candles lining the tub. Milton was there, eager to undress me and lead me into the bath he had drawn for my enjoyment. As I lay in the tub relaxing, he started to massage my scalp. He knew I loved this. He began to tell me about how much he loved me, how the year and a half that we have been together had been the best of his life. In a job where he is traveling and talking with the who's who in the entertainment business, nothing could compare to the time he has spent with me. Mackenzie, you know the circumstances under which we met were not traditional for either of us. But these last few months have been more than I could have ever asked for. You are what I have always wanted and needed. I can be myself around you and not worry about being judged, he said in such a serious tone as he bathed me. I was not sure what this conversation was leading to or what Milton had up his sleeve. I just continued to listen attentively as he poured his heart out to me. The fact that he was catering to me hand and foot had me in a state of shock. After my bath, he toweled me dry and placed gentle kisses across every inch of my body. As we walked into the bedroom, I went to get my rope from the closet door, and as soon as I turned around, I saw Milton on one knee. I instantly became weak. This was not what I was expecting. I was completely caught off guard by everything that was happening before me. I walked over to the bed to prevent myself from passing out in the middle of the floor. I had no idea what he was about to say next. My heart began to race as he spoke. Mackenzie, you are really special to me. Since coming into my life, there has not been a moment that has gone by where you were not in my thoughts. You are as close to pure as I will ever get in this lifetime. I love that you are so open-minded. My family adores you. From the first time that my mom met you, she told me that you were the one for me. You make my life worth living, and I would like to know if you would do me the honor of being my wife.
I could not believe what my ears were hearing. I could hear the sincerity in his voice. As he knelt there waiting for my answer, I could see the tears building up in his eyes. This was so unexpected. I never thought the proposal would happen this way. We had jokingly talked about it a few months ago and had even gone to look at rings on a dare, but I really did not think much of it at the time. But to my surprise, he was asking me to be his wife. I fell silent for a while. I was in awe. Could this be happening? "Babe, so what are you gonna say?" he asked, passion evident in his voice and face. "Yes, yes, and yes." That was my response. The ring he gave me was just what I wanted. It was 1.5-carat princess cut diamond ring. It looked better on my finger than it had when we saw it in the book at the jewelry store. I could not wait to get on the phone to tell my mom and all of my closest friends. Kelly cried when I told her. She can be so dramatic at times, I thought. My mom was just as excited. They all loved Milton and, as always, said how great we were together. The two of them could not wait to get started on the wedding plans. The change. It was not long after I accepted his proposal that the fool started acting like he had lost his damn mind. If I did not know better, I would have thought he was a fucking New Yorker. He became so possessive. Not to stereotype anyone, but every damn New Yorker I have dated in my past has been overly possessive and will flip out at the drop of a dime. All of a sudden, he was questioning my every move. He had even gone so far as to call Kelly and interrogate her about where I was on a few occasions. I was definitely seeing a side of him that I would not have expected. Hell, I had not even seen this side of him until this point of our relationship. Mama always said, you don't find out the true character of a person until you live with them or have a baby by them. Boy, was I finding out. I knew things had gotten carried away when he caught my mom drilling her as to where I was. My mom always overreacted. The least little thing that appeared out of the ordinary would send her off on a tangent. What the hell is going on? Why is that fiancé of yours calling me, asking me where you're at? He has called this house 5 times, she demanded. Lord, he has gotten her ass started, I thought to myself. Now, she is about to start with all the questions, trying to get all up in my business. That is the last thing I need with the wedding so close. Ma, I'm not sure what is going on. Let me call you back in a few. Let me see what's up. I did not hesitate to call Milton. I needed to quickly get to the bottom of why he was calling her. What the hell could be so urgent? Hey, Poppy, what's going on? I asked nonchalantly when he answered the phone. Nothing, he answered abruptly. It has to be something. You calling my mama, bugging her about me? Aw, does daddy miss mommy? Anyway, I'm on my way home, so there's no need to worry. See you in a few. Put something sexy on for me, I said sarcastically. Yeah, when you get here, we need to talk, he said in a very irritated tone. What the fuck is there to talk about? This dude has got to be tripping. I'm not even pressed for the nonsense. I have too much on my plate as is with this wedding, I thought, annoyed with attitude at this point. I got to the house and he was at the door waiting. At first, I was concerned that maybe something had happened to his mom down in North Carolina. I knew she had been under the weather recently. Hell, maybe it was something with one of the stores or the magazine.
I had no idea why he seemed so annoyed. "What's up? What's all the urgency for?" I asked. My tone was less playful than it was over the phone. Milton had this look in his eyes I had never seen before. It was a look of disgust. I had no idea what was about to come out of his mouth. Praise myself. "Mackenzie, do you play me for a fucking fool?" His tone was stern and harsh. Milton had never taken this tone with me. Okay, why the hell is he taking this tone? What the hell has popped off that got this fool tripping? Shit, who the hell is this person standing before me? This is not my Milton. This is not the man I have fallen in love with. Trying to remain calm and not respond in the same tone that he was taken, I ask, "Where the hell is these questions stemming from?" "I was cleaning out the basement, trying to finally get things situated for your new office like you asked, and I came across this box. In this box, I see these journals covered up with pictures and shit. So being curious, I began to read these journals. Over the past few days, I have been reading this shit, and I can't believe the shit I have read. You are a fucking whore." Okay, no more being the nice bitch. He has clearly crossed the line. What the fuck did you just call me? "I can't fucking believe you. I mean, I don't even know who you are anymore. You have led me to believe that you are so fucking innocent, that you have spent your life being so dedicated to your studies. You made it seem as though you were always so focused on achieving the goals that you had set for yourself that you had no time for anything else. But to my surprise, the woman I love is nothing more than a fucking whore. Did you honestly think that I would never come across these books or find out about your past?" Milton had started to act prior to this moment, but I never saw this coming this way. I thought maybe it was the nerves setting in with the wedding soon approaching. Like all couples, we had our arguments. But even in those moments, he had never shouted at me like this. "No. I know what it is. You were planning to burn them before you ever got a chance to come across them," he continued with his rant. "My past is simply that, my past. That has nothing to do with you. Nothing to do with what we have now. My past is what has allowed me to become the woman that I am now, the woman that you love." I needed to remind him of that. I had no idea what Milton was referring to. We all have done things in our past that we leave there. That is simply what I had done. There were some things that I had done that I was not proud of. There were things that had come off as a contradiction to the person that I am today. Those books that he were referring to contained a lot of stories about the person I used to be. It wasn't that I was trying to hide anything from Milton, but I did not see how any of that was relevant to what he and I shared in this moment. I had never questioned his past outside of the very basic questions and vice versa. What was the purpose of digging up the past? This fool is really looking at me like I'm a fucking stranger in my own house. I'm looking back at him like he is a stranger. This shit is crazy, I thought as I attempted to get my head around his rant. In one entry you wrote, "I don't think I could ever be in a long-term relationship. I love my freedom too much to settle down with anyone. Right now, I'm just so consumed with work that it is hard to even entertain the thought of a personal life outside the classroom." Then you go on to write, "The only thing a dude can do for me is spend that money so that I can save my own. I work too hard to settle for someone who cannot meet me halfway or at least exceed what I bring to the table. So when you saw me, is that what you saw? Dollar signs?" First of all, Milt, I was not impressed when I first met your arrogant ass. You pursued me. So don't get it fucking twisted. Yeah, you doing your thing with the magazine and all, but I make enough money where I do not need your ass. I can carry myself minus all this fucking drama that is transparent right now. The only thing that you brought to this relationship was your connections that you have with celebrities. Indeed, I enjoy going to the meet and greets, backstage access at the concerts. All that shit is great. But trust, I got enough pull that in time, that is some shit I could have introduced myself to without your monkey ass. You brought me companionship and showed me that I'm capable of loving someone. You showed me there was more to life than being consumed with work. That does not have anything to do with your fucking money. You fucking carried me. I was so hurt to read that my woman had been in a relationship with another female. Hustle niggas for money. You even messed around with two brothers. The things that you described in these bitch books of yours are embarrassing to me. Why didn't you come clean a long time ago and tell me about all these fucking skeletons in your closet? Like I said before, what the hell does my past have to do with anything? It was before your time. It is not like I cheated on you or like any of that shit happened during your time. Damn, I'm sure there are things about you that I don't know. I can't fucking believe you're bringing this shit up. Believe it, bitch, he interrupted. Oh, I got your bitch all right. Before I knew it, I had thrown the damn vase that was sitting on the end of the table at his ass. Damn, I wish it would have hit him. He was acting like such a fucking jerk. Fuck off, Milk. You are acting so whack right now. I don't have time for this shit. I'm about to take a shower. When I get out, maybe you will have calmed your ass down. This arguing shit is for the birds. Sorry you read what you read. But what you need to realize is that all of that shit was way before you, and I'm not about to get into it with you. If there is something particular you want to know, we can talk about that. But I refuse to be another bitch or another whore. Please, let's get that straight first and fucking foremost. I headed up the stairs to take a shower. It was obvious that I needed to clear my head. The last thing I needed to do was argue with my fiancé. The wedding was approaching soon, and there were still some things that needed to be done. This was the last thing on that to-do list. I got out of the shower 30 minutes later, refreshed, hoping that he had gotten over his fucking attitude and was ready to talk like a sensible adult. But to my surprise, I exited the shower to find that I was in this big-ass house all by myself. Milton Lamont Williams. No fucking answer. I changed into something more comfortable as I continued to call his name throughout the house. I went over to the dresser to get the house phone when I saw a note on the damn mirror. Now, if this is not some bitch shit, I don't know what the fuck is. Mackenzie, I cannot express how pissed off I am right now. You are right. Maybe I am overreacting. Maybe I am taking it too far. However, I'm entitled to feel the way that I feel. I just want you to know that I'm going down to North Carolina for a few days. I'm not sure when I will be back. No need to call. I'm not sure when I will be back. No need to call. I just need some time to clear my head and work through this. I would say that I love you, but at this moment, I'm not even sure who you are. Milt. This dude is too funny, I thought. I cannot be too bothered. I'll deal with this shit tomorrow. For all I know, he has gone over one of his boys' house. It doesn't look like he took enough stuff to be going down to North Carolina, as I did a quick scan of his side of the closet. I started to wander over the house to see if maybe he was cooling down, thinking maybe the note was just a joke. Finally, I accepted that he had indeed left.
My eyes filled with tears, but I refused to cry. I was still upset at his tone, his actions, but I could not begin to show any sign of how I truly felt inside. I was numb. Regardless what those books said, he had no right to come off at me like that. I managed to fix the sandwich and poured a glass of wine. As I sat at the kitchen table, I could not stop thinking about all that had transpired. Why the hell did I hold on to those books? Maybe I pushed him to leave by throwing the vase. Maybe I should have just listened and supplied him with the answers he wanted. All night I was wondering if he had really gone down to North Carolina. I had been trying to get him to go down for the past few weeks to check on his mom, who had been sick. It had been a while since he had been to see her anyway. However, Milton kept saying how busy he was preparing for the launch of the magazine in a new market. He wanted to get that done before the wedding so that he did not have to focus on it during our honeymoon. One of his college buddies was interested in having a West Coast version of Urban Legends. The question that continued to run through my mind was, why now? All of a sudden, he was so quick to go down North Carolina. Again, we've had arguments before. Some I feel probably really were, you know, a little bit more intense than this, minus the thorn of the vase. But he never left. A part of me wanted to call him, or at least his mother, to see if he had said anything to her about coming down. But my stubborn side kicked in, and I just took my ass to bed.